the knowledge of your Son Jesus. Let our eyes be opened. We behold Him as He sees us in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This morning we'll be checking out something. I know I taught this before, just sharing it again. Established in righteousness. No weapon from, praise God. That's the title. Amen. Established in righteousness. No weapon. Someone say, no weapon. Say like you mean it. No weapon. Praise God. We're going to see what it means, you know. I know we probably have used it for different kind of stuff. When I used to lead prayer in years back, we would, this particular scripture, Psalm 68, I think, and we say, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. And in your head, you didn't even know who the enemies were. Probably thought some people doing you from the village or in your area. But when God arose, the enemies that scattered were not human beings. Hallelujah. But we thought we were human beings. So in your head you just went, and my enemies be scattered. You know, there's a song we sing by, I don't know who sang the song, but we sing it a lot. I'm no longer a slave. And he said, you delivered me from my enemies. And I can think that you should know better than to sing delivered you from your enemies. And so we change it from to the enemy. Praise the Lord. Because we have much more light than David had. Is that clear? So we need to change that. Praise God. Amen. Isaiah 54. But before we go to Isaiah 54, look at Luke's Gospel 24. Oftentimes when we teach like this, we lay foundation. Foundation can take time. But at the end of the day, the house will last. Is that clear? Luke's Gospel 24 and verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? If you have observed, I don't allow you to read that verse. Who has observed it? I normally read it myself. Because by the time you read that verse, and I'm the only one that is not talking, you don't get that, do you? And I don't think you've observed that I don't allow you to read that verse. I read it myself, so you read the rest. I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He explained all scriptures, and all scriptures, the things concerning himself. So Jesus goes to the Old Testament text to explain himself. The Bible says that beginning at Moses, which is believed to be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He went through all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so, he did what we call interpretation of scripture. That is, the Bible says he expounded, which is the Greek word diamenio. It means to give the meaning. Diamenio doesn't mean to find meaning. It means to give the meaning of something. And so Jesus explained the Old Testament by giving the meaning of what it was saying. And he located that meaning to himself. And we have said so far that this was the most exhaustive Bible study that Jesus ever did. Am I right? Am I correct, please? So he went to the Old Testament, that is Genesis to Malachi, and he explained himself. All right, look further. Now, look at the book of Acts. So, we can say the Old Testament is Christ-centered. Are we right to say that? Can we say that? Come on, can we say that? John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. That is, the Old Testament is Christ-centered. We have several texts of the Old Testament that speak about Christ Jesus. But then, let's look further. Acts 1, and I want you to observe this very closely. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, we see the Old Testament also read about experiences. For example, the man by the name of Judas was located in the Old Testament. And not such a nice location, but anyway, we have to read it. Acts 1 and then verse 20. Judas was the subject here. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. This is Psalm 69 verse 25 and Psalm 109 verse 8. Psalm 69 verse 25, Psalm 109 verse 8. In other words, what happened to Judas was prophesied. So it wasn't just about Jesus, okay? It was around Jesus, no doubt. But then certain individual actions was prophesied ahead of time. It was said this was going to happen. So we've seen that a man like Judas also, he found himself within the scriptures, all right? And then it's prophesied that he was going to do this. So that means the church here relied on the Old Testament to locate the events that were happening. Pay attention here. Also, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, you know, they just spoke in tongues. And as they spoke in tongues. Now, do you know why they could go to the Old Testament to talk about Judas? Do you know why? Because Jesus spent 40 days to explain from the Old Testament. So they knew that you don't talk from your head, you talk from the Word. Is that clear? So here they are again. In Acts 2, they just spoke in tongues. And everybody's around and wondering what's going on. And Peter didn't say, calm down, guys, calm down, guys. Two nights ago, I was walking on the road, then I saw a monkey. And the monkey told me, thus saith the Lord. He didn't say anything like that. He said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Acts 2, 16 and 17. The last day said God, I will pour out my spirit of my spirit upon all flesh. And he's quoting Joel 2, 28. Now, he's looking at the Old Testament to lay foundation for what they were doing. In other words, he could locate the church and the church activities in the Old Testament. Are you following this? Are you following this? He didn't just stop there. And then Acts 2, as he went on talking, then he began to talk about Jesus. He began to talk about how that Jesus was crucified. Everybody knew that. So he now goes back again to the Old Testament scriptures. And what does he say? He says in verse 25, but David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I should not be moved. He's quoting Psalm 16 and verse 8. He begins to quote it. Then he says, therefore did my heart excuse me, rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh also rest in hope. Then he says in verse 27, because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer the holy one to see corruption. Then again he quotes verse 28 and 20, thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. You know, we always say in your presence there's fullness of joy. We're quoting that verse, but you know, it was talking about the resurrection, not necessarily God being in God's presence, as some people call it. He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus. When he says your presence there, it's an Old Testament word that has to do with your countenance. Your countenance, when you saw me. Yeah, that's what it means. Not necessarily me coming to you. That is to view something. He said, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. So he's saying here, pay attention to this. He's saying here that what happened to Jesus was from the Old Testament. Not just that. Then he goes further. He explains to them. He says, look, guys, verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David that is both dead and buried. He sepulchred with us today. But being a prophet, someone said, being a prophet. And knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So he's telling me that David prophesied about Jesus. So where does it go? Then he says in verse 34, for David is not ascended to the heavens, but he said unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make your foes thy footstool. That's Psalm 110 verse 1. So, for everything he is saying, he's laying precedence from the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament. He said, look, what you're seeing here, it was prophesied before now. They didn't stop there. Look at Acts 3. Acts 3, he's preaching the gospel. What else does he say in Acts 3? He said, look, verse 21. Whom the heavens must receive unto the time of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by what? Come on, by what? By the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You know, he's telling them what was said. He said, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto myself, or like unto your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Imagine, this is Moses, a very interesting character. I like Moses, you know, no doubt, but I'm just wondering, this is Deuteronomy. He was almost leaving, then he said there will be a prophet, that's the person you are supposed to listen to. After giving 612 laws. And then you tell us that is the person supposed, and the guy is not even around. Praise God. Yeah, well, you know, it's Moses. What did you just say? You say I should follow. You said we should follow you. And then when you're almost done, you say, you see what? There's somebody that you should listen to. He's not here yet. He will come. When he will come, Moses doesn't say. Say, he will be here in all things. So here the apostle, and this particular Peter, he's pointing attention to the Old Testament. Doesn't stop there. Go to Acts 4. There's persecution now, alright? And they want to pray. And you find no one praying, fall down and die. Or no one declaring that, you know, guys, this time around, we're not going to take it. The next time that the council and the elders come after us, we're going to defend ourselves. We're going to use swords and guns. Self-defense is not a sin. Thus saith the Lord. He didn't say anything like that. That's, you know, he said, well, you know, guys, we're not going to take it. He didn't write an article and say, there's persecution against the church in Jerusalem. We're not good. We are also Jews. You can't trample upon our rights. We have human rights. We are also Jews. Don't we have rights to be Jews? No. He will give you 7 days. Anybody who dares to speak against a Christian again in this Jewish land, in this Jerusalem, he will become a donkey. They will ride out of this place. If I be a man of God. They didn't say that. They prayed. They looked for the scripture. And then they said, you had spoken by the mouth of the servant David. Why did the heathen rage? Verse 25, Acts 4. And the people imagined vain things. They're quoting Psalm 2. And then verse 1. You see what they said? Of a truth, verse 27, against thy holy child Jesus Christ, Jesus whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatever thy hand and that the counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that what? That with all boldness we may speak thy word, by the stretching forth of thine hand to give the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. Their prayer was, let's have more signs and wonders. Their prayer was, so we were bold. We are bold to preach the word. And that's what we should be praying under persecution, amongst other things. If they had prayed for people to die, and people actually died, maybe there would have been no book of Romans or Ephesians. Because one of the folks who would have prayed against was Saul of Tarsus. How about that? I said, how about that? Saul of Tarsus. If you were in the land in Jerusalem when Saul was doing what he was doing, I doubt whether you want to pray for his salvation. You know, after the guy got saved, the believers could not even ask. They couldn't even move close. See what Ananias told Jesus directly. It's not that he told someone to tell Jesus. He told Jesus to his face. Sir, I think you have some memory loss here. You don't know this guy? You know, and that's the apostle. Praise God. You could never have imagined that's the man. You'll have thought the person that will write 2/3 of the New Testament will be the guy who is not yet born again, but he likes churches. But the very guy who does the very thing that we very hate. He's the man, you know, that we might preach his word. And that should be our prayer. Is that clear? Come on, am I making sense? So, they saw that in the scripture, Psalm 2. Acts 13, quickly. Acts 13. Praise God. Acts 13. This is Paul. Verse 27. See what it says. He says, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which they read, which I read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." The word voices of the prophet is the Greek word phone. P-H-O-N-E. It means dialect or a common voice. P-H-O-N-E. You remember the word Shemua? Who remembers Shemua? Shemua? Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our Shemua? Our report. So if you transliterate the word Shemua into the Greek, you have the word phone. That is a common witness, a common voice. That is, all the prophets spoke about the death of Jesus and his resurrection. That's what he's saying. So they have a common voice. All the prophets. What they heard or what they found out. Pay attention here. He says they spoke. So he locates. Now look at 33, verse 33. God, I'll start from 32. "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled same unto who? Us." There were children. Now he's talking to Jews now. "In that he raised up Jesus again, as is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." So, time and time again, the church resorted to what was said in the scriptures about this. Prophecy. About Jesus, about persecution, about the outpouring of the Spirit, about the activities of the church. Now pay good attention here. Why did they do that? Remember, we started from Luke 24, and we said Jesus himself did the same thing. He went to the scriptures, and he located his own experiences, and who he was. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Before we go there, Romans 15 first. Romans 15. We're going to look at two verses of scripture. Romans 15, verse 8, and 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. So let's go to Romans 15, first of all. Are you still there? Are you still there? Romans 15. Hallelujah. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was" what? "A minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father." The word minister there is not the same word doulos, used for servant and slave. The word minister here is the word diakonia, used for a deacon. So you can actually say Jesus Christ was a deacon. That's interesting, right? You know, that's a use of words. The word deacon there, you know, a deacon usually is someone you gave a responsibility to. So Jesus Christ, let me give you what I mean. Now, in John 6 and Matthew 14, Jesus gave a deacon's responsibility to the apostles, even though they were apostles. He told them to share bread. So, their deacon will be what? Sharing of bread. Are you following what I'm saying? A deacon is not an all-encompassing office. It must be specific. Sharing of bread. So, in Acts 6, when they were going to pick deacons, they're going to do the same thing. Sharing of food. So a deacon is given a responsibility. I wrote in my notes, you can write it down. A deacon is a specific servant of the church. Specific servant. What does he do? He gives bread. Now he's saying Jesus is a specific servant. So what is his work? To what? Of the truth of God, to what? Come on. Romans 15:8, come on. To what? To what? Confirm the promises. Now, where were the promises? The promises were made where? In the Old Testament. So he is the specific servant to confirm. The word confirm means to make it sure. It's the word bebiao in the Greek. B-E-B-A-I-O-O. B-E-B-A-I-O-O. Of course, you know the word promise means a self-commitment, evangelia, which means I gave a word that I'm going to fulfill myself. This already confirms to you that Jesus is deity. So I give a word, I give a promise. That a promise in the Greek means a self-commitment. That something I will do myself. So he is the specific servant for that. Now, he had laid foundation in Romans 1, 1 to 4, this is just by the grace, where he says he was declared the Son of God with power. So he is God in the flesh to fulfill the promise he gave. So he becomes the, he doesn't send anybody. He sends himself. Specific servant, diakonia. He sends himself to do what? To make sure what he said. To make it happen. Mark 16:20. And they went forth everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord confirming Babel, confirming the word with signs following. 1 Corinthians 1:6-8 uses the same word to confirm. 2 Corinthians 1:21, we're coming to that one. To confirm. Whenever you see the word Babel, it makes it reliable. Reliable. That is reliable because of this person. Colossians 2:7, you find there too. Hebrews 2:3. The word spoken by angels was sure and steadfast. Verse 2. How shall we, that every transgression and disobedience receive the just recompense of reward? Verse 3. How shall we escape? Hebrews 2:3. If we neglect so great salvation, which at first was spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard it. Hebrews 2:3. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:8. He said, it is good that the heart is not, it's established in what? In grace. Not of strange meats, strange doctrines. In grace. Established. Confirmed. Same word, Babel. Then you see the word stretched in 2 Peter 1:19. The more sure word of prophecy. More sure word of prophecy. So, Jesus, he is the specific servant of God's promises. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? You and I do not have a role in the promises being fulfilled. Jesus Christ is a specific servant for the promises to be fulfilled. Quickly go to 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Still out there? Are you still out there? 2 Corinthians 1:20. Circle scripture. It says, for some of the promises of God. Huh? All the promises of God in him, yes. In him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Paul uses very strong words. Don't forget the word promise is the word evangelion. A self-commitment that I will do this myself. So he says, all the promises of God are in him, yes. The word yes, interestingly, is the Greek word nahi. N-A-I. Used 34 times. Nahi. It means true. Whenever nahi is said, it's a response. It's a response. That is, if I say something and I say, you are John, and you say, nahi, you affirm it. You are. So it's a, the word nahi is a response. So that is, Jesus is the response to the promise of God. Are you still there? Are you there? Come on, are you there? Follow me. Come on. Are you in church? Jesus is what? The response. All of God's promises find their positive, reliable response in him. Nahi. Oh, are you the man? Nahi. That is, you affirm it. It's a response to something that has been said before. So, we don't respond to his promises for him to be fulfilled. He does the response himself. We are only beneficiaries of what he has done. Does it make sense to you? All right. So, he's a positive response to what God said. Now, where are the promises of God? In the Old Testament. So, he is that response. He's a Nahi. Second word. He says, Now you see that word. He uses it three times. Paul uses so much. What? Now he, yes, in verse 17. He says, look. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use likeness? Or the things which I proposed, do I propose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yes, yes, and nay, nay. I say no. But God is true. Watch that. Verse 18. Our word towards you was not yes and no. Yes and no. There's only yes. Nahi. That is, there's a positive response in Christ. Yes, yes, yes. Follow this now. In verse 19, he says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached unto you by us, even by me, Silvanus, and Silvanus was Silas, and Timotheus, was not yes and no, but in him was what? Yes. Yea, the word nahi, to affirm a fact. The second word he uses in verse 20 is the word amen. The word amen is an Hebrew word, just taken to the Greek like that. Hebrew word. It means let it be. That is, it has no Greek word. It's just amen. Let it be. It's an overall word. It summarizes everything you have said. Now, when I said yes, okay, are you the managing director? And you said yes. So if I say amen, I summarize the statement. That is, amen means I asked, he answered. Are you my point? Amen brings the statements together. Are you the Christ? Or the Christ will die for your sins. I have died for your sins. You know, that's the response to the promise. The summary is what? Amen. Hallelujah. So he's found in the promise, he's found in the response, and is the summation of the whole activity. The Bible is Christocentric. He's a yes and he's an amen. Summary. Summation. Let it be. That is, it says when the word amen, he brings a completeness to the statement. He brings a completeness to the sentence. He said it, he's fulfilled. That means altogether what was said has been fulfilled. Amen. So Jesus is that fulfillment of all of God's promises. Look at verse 21. How does he do it? Now, he which babaios us with you. Remember babaios? What's that again? Make sure, reliable, confirm. He who has confirmed us with you, where? Where are we confirmed? Come on, verse 21. Where are we confirmed? Come on, raise your voice. Where are we confirmed? In Christ. And has anointed us is God. So we are confirmed where? In Christ. So the fulfillment of that promise is with who? Oh, come on. No, you shouldn't lose that. It's with who? He just told you all the promises but are in him, yes and amen. Then he says, it is now assured, certified where? In us, in Christ. So we have become the beneficiaries of the yes and the amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, I'm the beneficiary of God's promises. God didn't do it for himself, did he? Did he? No, he did for us. So we become the beneficiaries of those promises eventually. Christ fulfilled it and then delivered to us what? The fulfilled promises. God gave a word. Christ fulfilled it. And we became the beneficiaries of what he fulfilled. By what? He established it. Pay attention now. He established the promise in us. What else does he do? In others. Look at 22. Let's say 22. Let's go. Who has what? No. Get that. Come on. Read that. Come on. Who has what? Sealed us. What sealed? The word sealed is the word sphragizo in the Greek. S-P-H-R-A-G-I-Z-O. S-P-H-R-A-G-I-Z-O. It means to authorize or to own. That this now belongs to me. When you put a seal, it means it belongs to me. In other words, what's he saying? The promises now belong to who? Us. He has put a seal of the fulfillment of those promises on us. Glory to God. You understand that? So we have ownership rights to all the promises that God gave and are fulfilled in Christ. Does it make sense to you? So we have been sealed. Hallelujah. See, the promises are mine now. See, they are mine. Well, we're younger Christians. We used to sing a song back then. Songs are interesting. Songs always kind of say what you really believe. Songs show what you really know. We say, when I remember His promises, I shout hallelujah. When I remember His promises, I shout hallelujah. When I remember His promises, I shout hallelujah. And the sisters will raise the voice. When I remember. And the brothers go, when I remember. Everybody's excited. So as you sing that, somebody will now come out and read a promise to you. And they say, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, then when I remember His promises, I shout hallelujah. We're just in doubt. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. That's not a promise. That's a fact now. Hallelujah. We claim. We have a claim on all the promises now. Eternal life is ours now. Righteousness is ours now. Hallelujah. Justification belongs to us now. We are sons of God now. We will not be what He wants us to be. We are what He has made us to be. We are already the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. He is able. That's the Nigerian version, I think. He is able, more than able. That's the Nigerian version, right? To make me what He wants me to be. He is able. You think that maybe when you're looking for a job, you want to buy a house. More than able. Hallelujah. The Bible says we have been made the righteousness of God in Him. See, I've been made. You find out what He has made you. He has already made you that. So He has put a seal, a sphragizo. We are authorized. We now own it. So you can go right in those prophecies and say it's now ours. Hallelujah. You know why? Because they're no longer promises. There's now a yes and an amen. Are you there? Does it make sense to you what I'm saying? There's now a yes and an amen. So you don't look at it as a promise. Say, oh God, be it unto me. Oh my God. According to your word. According to your promises, I can stand secure. No. They are fulfilled. Praise God. You are not Mary anyway. All right now. So the promises are ours. Look at the word. Look at where the word sphragizo is used. Ephesians 1:13. He gave us a spirit. With the spirit within us, we are now owners of those promises. That's what he's saying. The earnest of the spirit in our hearts. Hallelujah. How many have the Holy Ghost in your heart? Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Raise your bow. Raise it high. Raise it high. You see how many of you need power? How many of you have the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. You have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Within you? Praise God. So what does it mean? It means that because of that, you are a rightful owner of all of the promises. Watch this. In Ephesians 1:13, the same word, sphragizo, is used for the indwelling of the Spirit. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, pay attention, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed, glory to God, with that Holy Spirit of promise. So it's sealed. So you were made a rightful owner. It's now yours. Same in Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30 says, sealed unto the day of redemption. Glory to His name. Glory to his name. So his promises is no, let's put it like this. That means the prophecies concerning Christ and the church, we can find them in the Old Testament. The promises concerning Christ now belongs to us. We're legal owners of those promises. Legal owners. We're not conditional owners, and we're not emotional owners. So someone just says, well, I think you can have it. You like this promise? The Lord is saying, I want to give you a special promise. You know, that's what some preachers, they talk like there is something for you in the Bible. That, you know, the way the Spirit of God speaks to all of us. You just open your Bible to Lamentation. Sorry. Psalm something. Just say, hey, the Holy Spirit is. Ah! What's the word of God to you? The word of God to you as a person. Say, there's a general word of God for everybody. But a specific word of God. So you open the Bible and say, and the serpent, sorry. Specific word of God to you. Some will believe in that. But it's not true. All the promises of God. Hallelujah. Are in him, yes. In him, amen. And we have been given the seal that those promises belong to all of us. Hallelujah. Does it make sense to you? All right, good. So, Hebrews chapter 2. Let's come on, look at this. Hebrews chapter 2. You learning something? You learning something? Hebrews 2. Lion of Judah has broken every... What am I singing? He has given us the victory again and again. We sing the song after hot prayer sessions. And you have just battled. I was thinking that you battle some demons. When you raise prayer point, I say, brethren, we are praying. All the things hindering your success in your village. You know, there are people you see that you don't know they see you. Let us begin to pray. After you have finished praying and you are sweating, say, the Lion of Judah has broken every yoke. He has given up. The victory we are talking about is the prayer. Again and again, let God arise and your enemies. After a while, brother said, no, stop singing that. When you say, let God arise, you're talking to God. The brother was sounding deep. He said, oh God, arise. Talk to him directly. Said, that's very deep. All of us in our ignorance. There was a guy who had to correct us one time. Said, this song we sing, and as we worship, build your throne. That we shouldn't say that. That his throne is forever and ever. So I said, it's making sense. So we should sing it like this. And as we worship, fill your throne. I said, the first one is better than the second one. David, come and sit down. Where was he? He went to watch Chelsea game. Sorry, I said that. He went to do something. Hallelujah. Okay, come on, look at this. Okay, add this one to the word Nehi. Philippians 4:3. Just your references. Philippians 4:3. I skipped that. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 6. But in a certain place testify. That's Psalm, the book of Psalms. In a certain place testify. What is man? Psalm 8, that I was mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor, and they set him over the works of your hands. Now obviously, this verse is about who? It's about Jesus. Why? Because clearly, he says in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. Now watch this. You mustn't lose this one. Say, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should what? For who? So that prophecy was about Jesus, but was also about us. Are you following that? That he should, by the grace of God, taste death for every man. Let's read verse 10 together. Come on. Verse 10. Everybody, come on. Verse 10. Let's go. For it became him. For whom are all things. Now when he says whom are all things, he's talking about the prophecies. Go on. And by whom are all things. No. I said everybody should read the Bible. Let's go again. Verse 10. For it became him For by whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in whom many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now look at verse 11. Both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now look at verse 12. This is where we're going. Verse 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. Pay attention here. The word I will announce you is the word apagelo. It means to disclose a fact. So Jesus in his resurrection now discloses a fact. What is that fact? He said, I'll announce your name, which is your position or your reputation. You need to get this now. Unto my brethren. Now, he's quoting Psalm 22, verse 22. Look at it. Psalm 22, verse 22. This is about the resurrection of Jesus. Psalm 22, verse 22. In the midst of the congregation, he says again, will I praise you? He's quoting Psalm 22, which is about Jesus. But he says it's not just about Jesus. It's also about the church. He calls the church his brethren. Now, people have said that Jesus is our elder brother. There's no verse for that. Stop thinking like a carnal man. He says brethren. Now the word brethren is an old Greek word, adelphos. It means we came from the same womb. Now that's not difficult, because he just told you in verse 10, he brought many sons to glory. And verse 11, he that sanctified and those that are sanctified are all of one. Why? There's a prophecy, Psalm 22, that says, I will announce your name to my brethren in the congregation. In other words, there'll be many sons, hallelujah, just like Jesus. Because he will call them brethren, if they don't have the same parentage. So in the resurrection of Jesus, doesn't just come forgiveness of sins, there's also family. We're family. Say we're family. Say like you mean, say we're family.
Family.
We're family. Adelphos. We're family. Now, notice the next verse. Again, I'll put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Look at that. He's quoting another scripture. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. In Isaiah 8, 18, go there. Isaiah 8, 18. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, the word children is the word paidon. P-A-I-D-O-N. P-O-I-D-N. P-A-I-D-O-N. So when he said, behold, it means to behold I and the children. Now when to behold I and the children, that means in that prophecy, you must not just see him, you must see all of us. So in his resurrection, we don't just see him, we see who? Us. We see us. Behold him. We must look at it. You know, in verse 9, we said we see Jesus. Then verse 13, now see, we see who? Jesus and the church. Who's following this? Come on. Let me see if you're following this. We see Jesus, then we see Jesus and the church. Why? Because we are legal claimants of what he did. He brought many sons on the glory. Follow this one now. So go to Isaiah 8, where that verse was taken. I and the children. I know people have used that for your children. Say, my Father God, me and Craig and Michelle, we are, you know, That's not what he's talking about. That scripture was about Jesus. It's good to desire well for your kids, but that's not the verse. Behold, verse 18, Isaiah 8. I and the children whom the Lord had given me for signs and wonders. The word wonders is the word miracles. Miracles. Mopheth in the Hebrew. M-O-P-H-E-T-H. Miracles. When he said miracles, okay, watch this now. The word wonders is miracles, and the word signs, make a mistake there, the word signs is a witness. Is a witness and evidence in the Hebrew. An evidence. O-O-T-H in the Hebrew. Of. An evidence. Now, in other words, what is he saying? In his resurrection, what is the sign of his resurrection? The children of his resurrection. The many sons to glory. Hallelujah. You get that? You know, the sign, no. The witness of the resurrection of Jesus is who? Us. I. So, in the resurrection, we behold him and us. Why? He said, behold, I and the children he had given me. Where did he give him sons? In his resurrection. In glory. Do you understand that? Come on, do you understand that? So, we are the witness. How do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? We. Praise God. I and the children that he had given me. Their signs and wonders. The miracle of the resurrection is a new birth. The witness is you and I. You get it? Do you get it? Do you understand? So, in that scripture about Jesus, we don't just have Jesus. We have the man in Christ. Is that clear? Let me see your hand if you follow me. Come on. Let me see your hand if you follow me. So we have, he said, behold. So in verse 8 and 9, we see Jesus. By the time we go to verse 10 and verse 11 and verse 12, we see Jesus and the church. Is that clear? We see Jesus and the church. So he is our prototype. Firstborn, prototokos. We are found in him. So the prophecy about Jesus now becomes ours. Remember that word we use? Phragizo. We are now legal occupants. We are not tenants. We are owners. Praise God. I said we are not tenants. I said we are not tenants. We are owners of all the promises fulfilled by Jesus. His death is mine. His burial is mine. His resurrection belongs to me. Where he's seated today at the right hand of God belongs to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, now we behold I and the children. Hallelujah. I and the children. So we look at the prophecy. We see Jesus. Then we see us. Glory to his name. I said, glory to his name. So we read those prophecies. They're not just Christocentric. They're believer-centric. Hallelujah. Because the believer is in Christ anyway. Go to Galatians chapter 3. So I said, but we're talking about establishing righteousness. Yeah, we have to establish it very well. Galatians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Galatians 3:8. Watch this. This one was said to Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Are you there? The scriptures mean the Old Testament. Right? Come on. Now, which Old Testament in particular? Genesis chapter 12 and 17. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12, 3. Says the scriptures foreseeing the word proraho, P-R-O-O-R-A-O, which you will find in Acts 2:25, Acts 2:31 and Acts 21:29. Acts 2:25, Acts 2:31 and Acts 21:29. It says, God foreseeing he will justify the heathens with it, preached before the gospel. Watch this now. He preached before. It means to tell good things before it happens. Spell the word for you. To tell good things before it happens. P-R-O-E-U-A. P-R-O-E-U-A. Double G-E-L-I-Z-O-M-I-A. I'll say it again. P-R-O-E-U-A. Double G-E-L-I-Z-O-M-A. Pro-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H- before it happened. In you shall all the nations be blessed. It would be so funny if you think that what God was saying was Abraham owning Sodom. That's not what he was saying. Because it was something that happened. What God promised Abraham was found in Jesus' resurrection. So watch this now. He says he is blessed. The blessing he's talking about has nothing to do with material things. It's the same promise that was quoted in Acts 3:25. 3:25. What does it mean? Acts 3:25. Go to Acts 3:25. Acts 3:25. In that seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Same word. Shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And he's talking about righteousness. Or better still, he's talking about righteousness or forgiveness of sins. Are you there? So, he says, they shall be blessed. In thee, when he says in you, he's saying, in your loins? No. Go to Galatians 3. How will he, now, if you lose this one, you lost everything in this explanation. When he says, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Is it in Abraham or in faith? Does it make sense to you now? It's not in Abraham. Doesn't mean Abraham's children. It says faith. He will justify the eating through what? Faith. So when it says in you, he's saying by faith. Abraham believed. He said by faith shall all the earth be blessed. Is that very clear? Alright. So we have received the promise of the Spirit through what? 14. Through Abraham. Come on. We receive the promise of the three is through Abraham. Is it through Abraham? Through what? Faith. Look at verse 16. Let's take 16 together. Well, let's go. Now, let's go one more time. Now, to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he said not as a seed, as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is what? Christ. By faith. So Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. Let's take it together. Galatians 3:26. Can we read it together? Let's go. For you are all the children of God by faith where? Let's take it one more time. For we are all the children of God by faith where? In Christ. So God, he says, I will bless. To speak well of, that's what it means. To speak well of. To speak of a benefit. Now listen carefully. That means what was said to Abraham was not just about Abraham. The promise he gave to Abraham also is my promise, fulfilled in Christ. So Abraham was the one who was the audience when God was talking, but God did not restrict what he said to Abraham. So funny today, people always call Abraham's children the wealthiest in the world, the most intelligent. You know, we try to be mysterious, but the promise he gave to Abraham was righteousness through faith. Does it make sense now? Does it make sense? Look at Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to his name. Psalm 102. Verse 18. All of us read together. Psalm 102 verse 18. Let's go. I'll wait for you. You're there, say amen. Are you there? Psalm 102, verse 18. Are you there? Let's go. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people that shall be created shall praise the Lord. That's interesting. This shall be written. He didn't say it's written, he said this shall be written. In other words, he's not talking about the Old Testament. This shall be written. It's a prophecy about what? The epistles. This shall be written. In other words, there's coming a time that books will be written about a people or a time of the fulfillment of God's promises. So this verse prophesies about what? The epistles. It is said, this is written. This shall be written. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. What this? Of the generation to come. Personally, I wouldn't have translated it that way, because the King James had bad grammar. The word generation is the word door. Not door. Door, D-O-R, in the Hebrew. It means time. This shall be written of the time to come. You see that word door in Genesis 6:9. Of the time to come. The word to come is the word acheron in the Hebrew. A-C-H-A-R-O-N. Acheron means the next time. A dispensation, as it were. The next time. Acheron. You see it in Genesis 33 verse 2. This shall be written of the time, the next time. You know, Jesus kept saying in that day. Remember that? In that day, emera in the Greek, in this period. In that day. Obviously, the prophet here is prophesying about the resurrection of Jesus. The day of the resurrection. In that day. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. It's not a Sunday or a Tuesday. He was talking about the resurrection of Jesus. This day, praise God. This day, hallelujah. So this shall be written in that day. This shall be written. What shall be written? For the time that is next. Though some Hebrew translation will say the last time. And I agree with them. Because it's similar to the word used for the last Adam about Jesus. The last time. Acheron. The last time. After this time. This shall be written. Pay attention now. Of the last time. You know, we call this the last days. Praise God. Hallelujah. The last days is not the day of trouble. Don't say the last day. We are in the last days. No, say in the last days I pour out my spirit. Praise God. You didn't say the last day I pour out my evil. Hallelujah. We're in that time. Praise God. This shall be written of the last time. Praise God. So when you read the epistles, what do we have? That time. We're in that time now. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Alright, watch this. Of the time, what shall be written? And the people that shall be created. Come on, that's strong. The people that shall be created. Bara in the Hebrew. Same word in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That means they never existed before now. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:21, Genesis 1:27. The same word used for Adam and Eve. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:27. Genesis 2:3. Genesis 2:4. Genesis 5:1. The word bara. He says the people that shall be created that didn't exist before now. What you hear when a man be, therefore if a man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. So that means that prophecy has been fulfilled because it has already been written now. Hallelujah. You know, it shall be written. Now it has been written. Glory to God. Are you there? You are the workmanship of God. Bara. Hallelujah. Where? In Christ Jesus. So what that prophecy is saying has been fulfilled. Praise God. We are put on the new man, which after God is created. in righteousness and true holiness. So we look at that Psalm 102 verse 18 and we see a fulfillment of that prophecy. A people, a breed of people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Praise God. That's where we are today. It is now written. Hallelujah. So the prophet had prophesied of a different set of books. Hallelujah. Those are our books. Our diary. We see ourselves there. Are you there? A people shall be created. He said, and they shall what? They shall what? They shall praise the Lord. Oh my God. You know, I know a song like that. Our generation shall praise your name. Our generation shall praise your name. Do you think that's what this verse is talking about? Obviously not. The word praise is the word allow. It means to shine. The same thing Peter said, to show forth the praises, the virtues. Hallelujah. Not about praise and worship. Say, how is that? What does that do in creation that you are thinking? No! We're going to display power. We're going to display authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, they will shine for Him. Allah. In the Hebrew. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. We're in that prophecy. We're in that prophecy. Hallelujah. We're in that prophecy. They shall shine. They shall show forth God's power. That people that shall be created, they shall show forth His power. They shall show forth His virtues. Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light to show forth, hallelujah, the praises of Him who has called you. You're not saying to show forth the praises, you're not saying, Father, I pray. Is that what He's talking about? No. The virtues. The word praise in 1 Peter 2 9 means the perfection of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So we are in prophecy. Say, we are in prophecy. Say it again, we are in prophecy. We are a people of prophecy. So we can go to the Old Testament and carefully study it and say, this one is a believer. Hallelujah. this one is me. Glory to His name. You pick up the Old Testament. This one is me. So let's go to our text finally. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this making sense to you? Isaiah 54. Watch this. Verse 14. In righteousness, thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear. And from terror. I changed my microphone. In righteousness, thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Let me share my own experience with you. When I first heard this scripture, I will never forget, it was December 1989. It was a Christmas retreat program. And we were supposed to pray. And the man says, in righteousness, you shall be established. Are you righteous? In righteousness. Because actually, that's what the Hebrew is saying. And I said, wow. So you'll be far from oppression. So if you want Satan not to afflict you, check your life. And we prayed. We prayed. I remember 1 year, we were praying. I think it was 1992. I'm not sure. But we're praying, you know what we call crossover service. By the time the sermon was through that night, the song we sang into the new year was a serious one. We all knelt down in the church. Creating me into the new year. A new heart, oh Lord. A renewal of spirit. So after a while, some people, we sang that song over and over again. Some people were, maybe they were sleeping.
The pastor said that your life is not even showing that that song means something to you. He talked to the priest and said, you are singing that song, you are not even crying. In the middle of this, creating me a new heart. In righteousness, you shall be established. Look at it. Are you righteous? And we began to pray. So everybody believed that for you to be far from fear and oppression, you have to check your life. Check your life. You know that sermon? He's an all-time joker. Check your life. You always find something. Check your heart. If I want to say check your heart, your thing is, you will discover things that were not there before. Hallelujah. So look back at the last week. Check again. The Bible says if we say there is no sin in us, we lie. So if God, if you are saying the Bible says there is no sin, we lie, then what's the problem? We don't want to lie. Hallelujah. But look at that verse. It's an interesting text of scripture. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. I love the word established. The word established is an Hebrew word, kun, K-U-N. It means determined or prepared. Determined. That is, righteousness will determine you. You see it in Genesis 41 verse 32. And Genesis 43 verse 16. Genesis 41 verse 32. Genesis 43 verse 16. Kun. K-U-N. In righteousness, you will be determined. The word righteousness is the word to be acquitted. To be said to have done right. Hallelujah. I spell it for you, the Hebrew word is tzedakah. T-S-E-D-A-Q-U-A. First used for a man in the Bible by the name of Abraham. Abraham believed God. And then it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. So the very first time righteousness was used in the Bible, it was used for faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The very first time the righteousness was used in scriptures, it was used for faith. So it's faith. Say it again, faith. Follow this now. So he says, you will be established. Watch this. And you shall be what? Far from oppression. The word oppression there is injury. You see this in Psalm 30 verse 12, Psalm 59 verse 13. Injury. You shall be far from oppression. And shall not fear. And from terror. For it shall not come near you. The word terror means ruin. It's the Hebrew word mechitata. M-E-C-H-I-T-A-A. It's ruin. For someone to be destroyed. You see in Psalm 89 verse 40. You shall be far. He says, for it shall not come near you. It won't come near you. Praise God. But we have a problem. He says, for this to be received by you, you must be determined by what? Righteousness. So, what's he talking about? Whose righteousness? Psalm 53, Isaiah 53. Because of our time, we'll just skip through verse 1. Who I believe I report, to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed. It begins to talk about Jesus. Jesus and his sacrifice for sins. Then he gets to verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many. Hallelujah. Are you there? So Jesus will what? Justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Therefore will I divide my portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul of our soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Hallelujah. So he says, seeing, O barren, Thou that didn't bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou which hath no travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wives, saith the Lord. And light a place of a tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of the inhabitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Why is he saying this? He's saying this because he just told you that Jesus bore the iniquities of many. Are you still following this? Are you following this? So let's read into 54 quickly because of our time. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, for a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. This is the prophet speaking. But with everlasting kindness, hallelujah, will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Let's take verse 9 together. Oh, come on, read like you mean it. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Hallelujah. Are you still there? I think one verse, I will never be mad at you. I don't know what that means. I'll never be angry with you. Praise God. He didn't say, I will try not to be. I will never be angry with you. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be moved, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Hallelujah. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not come, behold, I will lay thy stone with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires. Hallelujah. And I'll make thy windows of a gate, and thy gates of carbuncles, and thy borders of pleasant stones. For all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. He's talking to the church now. In righteousness. Does it make sense now? Hallelujah. Now, in whose righteousness? It can't be the righteousness of those he justified. It will be his righteousness. In my righteousness. Hallelujah. Thou shalt be established. Glory to God. Are you there? And shall be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Why? He said, I have justified you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have justified you. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. He said, because of my, so you, when he said, in righteousness you will be established. Remember we said, in righteousness you will be determined. In righteousness you will be prepared. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Follow this one now. Makes a lot of sense. So he says, behold, watch this. They will gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Now, verse 16. You know we have a right to correct the prophet? Okay, let's correct the prophet. Behold, I've created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and brings forth an instrument for his work. I've created the waster to destroy. That would be funny. He can't be the protector from himself. This again shows the knowledge of the Old Testament prophets. Are you following what I'm saying here? He's not protecting you from himself. But because in the Old Testament, the prophet will see God. Look at this. Look at the same prophet. Chapter 45. Chapter 45, verse 7. We can correct the prophet. Chapter 45, verse 7. Are you there? Look at what the prophet said. Let's take it together. I formed the light. Come on. I formed the light. And I what? I create that. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, I do all these things. You believe that? You know, you don't believe that anymore because we are in that generation that is to come. We have more light. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend it. 1 John 1:3, he says, in him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he is not the one who made the way start to destroy. Hear this. We correct the prophet now. Are you there? Are you there? So the waster who destroys is the same word who brings to ruin. But look at the last word in verse 15. Whatever gathers together against you shall fall. The word fall in Hebrew means come to nothing for thy sake. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hear this well. He said the reason why you are going to be far from terror is not because you do good things all the time. The reason why you are going to be far from oppression shan't come near you. It's not because you have a wonderful life without a fault. It's because of His righteousness. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So never in your mind should you claim God's goodness based on your goodness. You receive God's goodness based on His goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am established in His righteousness. Say, I'm established in His righteousness. Say like this, I'm established in His righteousness. Say, I'm established in His righteousness. Say, I'm established in His righteousness. I am far from terror. I'm far from oppression. Because I am established in His righteousness. Hallelujah. They shall not come near me. Whatever gathers against me, it falls for my sake. Say, it falls for my sake. Hallelujah. Follow this one, it makes sense to me. Glory to God. He says, no weapon. No weapon. He's talking to the destroyer. To the waster. He says, no weapon. You know what? Skip that verse. And look at chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come ye and buy. And eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why is he saying that? He just told you what he has done. Hallelujah. So we are recipients of his grace. We are recipients of his work. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. Never should you base your victory on your efforts. Do not. We are founded on the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 17. No weapon. The word weapon there is utensils, tools. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now listen carefully. I want you to listen well. When he mentions a weapon, what is he talking about? He told you, thou shalt not fear. Because the tool of the destroyer is fear. Thou shalt not fear. The root of fear is an unworthiness consciousness. Thou shalt fear. Why are you afraid? You are far from oppression. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thou shalt not fear. Not well, today I won't be afraid because I prayed. And I looked at my day yesterday. I can't remember even talking to anybody, talk less of committing a sin. I made sure that throughout the day, I was like a lamb going to the shearers. I said no word. And I was checking my heart every 5 minutes. Is there anything there that does not glorify God? Oh, Father, Lord Jesus. I check my heart. What is there that is in every impurity that is in my thoughts? Even the thoughts I don't know I'm thinking. I've thought about it. It's not there. Hallelujah. You are breeding fear. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, no weapon. No weapon used against you shall advance. Shall make progress. The word means to make progress. The Hebrew word that means to penetrate. To penetrate. In other words, we have a defense against the weapon of the enemy. fear. Hallelujah. Say, I refuse fear. Say, I refuse fear. Notice what he asked you to do. We're going to see shortly. He has told you that, look at me, I'm not angry with you. So never trace a problem to God having an issue with you. Say, look at me, I'm not angry with you. I've said, come and buy without money. I've sent my son to die and justify you. So you can't say it's because of something you have done to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes things are going wrong in our lives. We say, God, why? You are talking to the wrong person. He doesn't do evil. And he has nothing against you. God, why? So what's going on? Maybe there's a problem and something's about to happen. You say, I forgot my devotion. I didn't do prayer chain this morning. No, I'm not saying you shouldn't do prayer chain every morning. Say, no. That should never be your defense. Hallelujah. Our defense is everlasting kindness. Glory to God. It's never you. See, hold on. Our faith is not on our faithfulness. Our faith is in His faithfulness. Because we can't always be faithful. But He's always faithful. His word is consistent. And we are determined by that. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know whether you got this. Say, I'm determined by His work. Say, I'm determined by His work. So I set out in the day. I pray not to be accepted. I pray because I'm already accepted. Hallelujah. Are you there? Watch this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Watch this. Every tongue that rises against thee in judgment shall condemn. Now let's read the B part together. This is the heritage. Hallelujah. It's an inheritance. Glory to God. Heritage. Some that is given to you. Glory to God. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And their righteousness belongs to who? Is of me. Can you see it now? So when he was saying, in righteousness, you are established. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. Never should you say, well, I'm going to get this because I did this. I'm going to get this because I did that. No! I have it because of what he has done. I am determined by his righteousness. Hallelujah. Said, I'm determined by his righteousness. We don't come to judgment again. Hallelujah. I'm determined by his righteousness. So when there's any thought of fear or harm coming at me, I rest on whose righteousness? His righteousness. Even when things didn't go right with me, I just say, well, if I cannot depend on what I've done, I sure can depend on what he has done. I am established in his righteousness. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Follow this one. It said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It shall not penetrate. I refuse to fear. Oh no, you didn't hear me. I refuse to fear. Why? Because fear is a weapon of terror. Fear is a weapon of terror. I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. Oh, say it like you mean. I refuse to fear. Because I'm established in righteousness. I refuse to fear. I'm far from terror. I'm from oppression. Because I refuse to fear. Hallelujah. He says, every tongue that rises against you. Watch what he says. In other words, the word tongue, in the Hebrews, lashon, speech. So where does the weapon come from? He's not talking about guns. He's talking about words. Hallelujah. That rises against you. What do? In judgment, you condemn it. In other words, you have to speak. Hallelujah. You have to speak. He says in judgment, you condemn. He uses two critical words. The word condemn is the Hebrew word rasha. It means you judge it. You judge it. You see in Exodus 22 verse 9, you judge it. You judge it. As it comes, you judge it. How do you judge the fear of oppression? You say, well, I have His righteousness. Hallelujah. And God is not angry with me. Glory to God. I have His righteousness. I am far from fear and I'm far from oppression. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You are using your words to what? To judge. He says, you shall condemn. Watch this. In judgment. The second word, judgment, is the word justice. Mishpat in the Hebrew. It's a noun. It means what is right. So every time you speak back at fear, what are you doing? You are doing what is right. Keeping quiet is not wisdom. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? Keeping quiet is not wisdom. I am far from oppression. Say, I'm far from oppression. I am established in His righteousness. So where do the weapons come from? They come by speeches. Things that are said. Things you read. Things that you hear. You begin to wonder. Well, am I qualified to be different from this? Say, well, I am. Why am I qualified? Because His righteousness is my inheritance. Hallelujah. I'm established in His righteousness. Say, I'm established in His righteousness. Say, like it means, I'm established in His righteousness. What are you doing now? You are condemning every tongue. Hallelujah. Every time a thought comes to your mind about what you have done wrong, you say, well, I condemn you. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed on my part. Praise God. I have the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. I qualify because He qualified me. In fact, the reason why I'm qualified is because I was disqualified. Praise God. Hallelujah. His righteousness is mine. So I am determined by His righteousness. Praise God. You must refuse every threat. Did you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes your experiences try to tell you, this is why this is happening, because of this and that and this. You said, no, I am established in His righteousness. His righteousness is my inheritance. I'm far from oppression. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have the gift of righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rule and reign in His life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You are condemning rightly every speech against you. No matter the words spoken. Sometimes you read in the news and then the words just direct at you. Have you seen that before? You respond. Say, that's not me. Hallelujah. That's not me. Praise God. I'm far from oppression and from terror because I'm established in His righteousness. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I'm established in His righteousness. Things don't go wrong because I did wrong. Things don't go right because I did right. Things go right because I'm justified. Hallelujah. I am established in His righteousness. So you must never tolerate fear. Righteousness in Christ makes us afraid of nothing. Did you hear me? Our righteousness in Christ makes us afraid for nothing. There's no fear here. Say, there's no fear here. So you use your words quickly. Let's just run through some verses quickly. Hallelujah. So we release words. Words. I am established in His righteousness. Romans chapter 3. So that verse is mine, right? Is that verse mine? Is Isaiah 54 verse 14 mine? Does it belong to me? Does verse 17 belong to me? It does. So no weapon, praise God, formed against me. Words crafted to say to me. I said, no way. I condemn it immediately. I judge it. I judge it as undeserving of me. I judge it as that which doesn't belong to me. Praise God. Because I am free and far from oppression and terror. Hallelujah. I am established where? I'm not established in prayer, though I pray. I'm not established in meditation of the word, though I meditate on the word. I'm not established in church, though I come to church. I am established in His righteousness. Hallelujah. So I'm not being determined by my actions. I'm determined by His actions. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You know what we said, that those promises are ours. You know why? Because we have the Spirit Gizel. Amen. We have a legal right to take those promises and say, this is mine. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54 verse 17 is mine. As I walk through this life, I go from place to place, city to city, job to job. I know that I'm far from oppression. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm free from terror. Look at Romans 3. We're closing. Romans 3. You learning something? Romans chapter 3. The root of fear is a sense of unworthiness. Fear is a child of unrighteousness consciousness. Romans chapter 3. Watch this quickly. You can read verse 21 to 30, but I'll just read verse 26 to you. Verse 26 says, to declare, I say, I love this, at this time His righteousness, that He might be what? Just. And the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Say, He is my justifier. He says, number one, He is just by justifying you. Hallelujah. As though God was unjust before. He says, in the act of justifying you by faith, God has become just. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has become my justifier. He is my justification. He is my justifier. Praise God. So as the thoughts come, what do? I condemn. He says, where is boasting then? He's excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Hallelujah. So what do? As the thoughts come, what do? I condemn them. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. He has not given to us, because He doesn't give it. God doesn't make you obey Him by making you afraid. No. Lord, do your will! Oh, do your will! That's a horror movie. He doesn't act it. God wanted us to obey Him. What did He do? He sent His Son to die for us. And He calls it the obedience of the faith. Hallelujah. So our faith is obedience. To believe what He has done. I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. There is no fear here. I am established in righteousness. See, hear me. Don't let anyone judge you with your past. Release your words in judgment. Feast on the goodness of God. And look away from your inadequacies. I'm closing by one verse of scripture. Matthew 6. You learning something? Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we walk in our liberty as sons of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, sin consciousness has no hold over our minds. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see ourselves as worthy all the time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are far from fear and oppression. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, no weapon of fear, of terror that comes against us in words can penetrate. Our minds are secured. They are immune by the word of God. We are feasting on His goodness. Hallelujah. We are not feasting on men's reports or their experiences. We are full of the thoughts of God's goodness established in Christ. His righteousness is mine. Hallelujah. My prayer life is not my righteousness. My Bible story life is not my righteousness. Evangelism is not my righteousness. My doing good things is not my righteousness. What He has done is my righteousness. I am determined by His righteousness. Matthew 6, and we'll close in there. Jesus said,
I love this. Kenneth Copeland made me see this years ago. In verse 31. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? My God, that means you take fear when you speak. Take no thought saying. Fearful thoughts will always come to your mind because you are in a world riddled with fear. Educational system is built by fear. Even people are parented by fear. Marriage is built on fear. We hear words, movies are acted in fear. The news channels always celebrate fearful things. I cannot stop a bird from flying over my head, but I can stop it from building a nest on it. I can't stop a thought from coming to my mind, but I can stop it from being productive. Jesus says, take no thought saying. Fear dies unborn until it is spoken. Worry dies unborn until it is spoken. I refuse to cooperate with fear. Hallelujah. My words are full and are filled with righteousness consciousness. To the glory of God, I only speak my righteousness in Christ. I don't speak fears. I don't speak doubts. I don't speak anxiety. I speak my righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Take no thought. Say. Don't joke about it. Don't try and share it with someone out of concern. No. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every speech, written, spoken. What else can we say? If it's not written, spoken. Sang. Shouted at. Against me. Shall not penetrate. Hallelujah. I judge it. How do I judge it? I speak God's word. I speak God's word. I speak my right in Christ. I speak who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm made more than a conqueror through him that has loved me. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. If he had stopped there, I'd have been confused. Through him who has loved us. Hallelujah. Through him who has loved us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm established in his righteousness. I'm free from terror. I'm far from oppression. I don't come to ruins. I don't come to waste. Because the waste and the destroyer, they are prevented from me. As they use their words, I use mine. Hallelujah. I am determined by his righteousness. I'm established. Hallelujah. Sing in other tongues. Sing in other tongues. Sing in other tongues.